Hello, my name is Bidemi Ologunde, and you are listening to episode 166 of the Big Picture Podcast. On this episode, I'll talk about the role and nature of cyber attacks in the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine compared with existing norms of traditional warfare. I'll also assess the cyber cat and mouse game playing out in the Russia-Ukraine war, and then wrap up with the second order consequences of those cyber attacks on countries that are supporting Ukraine's cyber defenses. Thank you for your time. Let's get to it. Part 1. Wartime norms don't exist in cyberspace. Cyber attacks before and during the Ukraine conflict have targeted civilians, private companies, and government agencies, basically demonstrating the legal gray area in which cyber operations often exist in. Launching military operations against non-combatants is prohibited under international agreements. However, experts say that placing legal boundaries specifically around what is permissible in cyber conflicts is fraught with complexity. So applying any international norm to a particular cyber incident requires attributing the incident to a state actor. Furthermore, the attribution must be reasonable for it to be legitimate, but then international law lacks a definition for what qualifies as either reasonable or legitimate in cyberspace. So recently launched hacks and attacks against Ukrainian infrastructure include massive distributed denial of service attacks against banks that disrupted websites and automated teller machines, ATMs. In addition, there are online disinformation and psychological operations that frequently target civilians. On February 28, Microsoft President Brad Smith said in a blog post that some cyber activity in Ukraine might violate existing rules of war. Microsoft researchers detected a new malware variant that was targeting critical infrastructure operators in Ukraine, which the company dubbed Foxblade. Mr. Smith said those attacks on civilian targets raise serious concerns under the Geneva Convention. He added that Microsoft had shared information with the Ukrainian government about each of them. So experts have said that many international treaties focus on the use of specific weapons, but cyber tools can be multi-purpose in nature. A network scanner that is used to fix flaws in defenses, for instance, can also be used to find them in an adversary system and inject malware. So simply using cyber tools is not enough to trigger sanctions, which require attribution and evidence that those attacks were meant to cause harm. Therefore, there isn't really any prevailing political framework to constrain cyber activities. Another thing that worries analysts is the growing prominence of hacktivists and volunteer hackers in the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war, along with a declaration from ransomware gang Conti, which said it would strike at the critical infrastructure of any country that attacks Russia. Invariably, the involvement of non-state actors complicates the international legal landscape and leads to the question of who is or who isn't a combatant. Part 2. The cyber cat and mouse game playing out in the Russia-Ukraine war. So Ukrainian and Western intelligence officials feared that Russia's elite corps of state-sponsored hackers would launch crippling cyber attacks to complement its invasion of Ukraine. Instead, the cyber war has been something closer to internet trench warfare. Basically a grinding conflict of relentless and sometimes unsophisticated attacks that have taken casualties but overall had limited impact on the course of the fight. Some attacks have been annoying, slowing down Ukrainians' internet service or knocking it out altogether, defacing websites, and destroying files on a small number of computers. Others have accomplished little more than keeping Ukraine cyber defenders busy. More recently, as Russia's strategic aims appear to be shifting to eastern Ukraine, new and more alarming attacks on Ukraine's energy sector have been discovered, suggesting that the next phase of the war could include a more active cyber conflict. Ukraine hasn't seen a successful type of massive strategic-level attack on civilian infrastructure, given the aggression and technical ability that Russia's elite hackers have displayed in the past. On the other hand, Russia has routinely denied allegations of cyber attacks against other countries and said its government websites recently faced unprecedented cyber disruptions. So while cybersecurity analysts and intelligence officials are working to understand why the scale of Russian cyber offenses has been so much more limited than feared, several theories have emerged. US officials said that Russian strategists assumed the conventional campaign would wrap up in days and didn't appear to deploy their most formidable cyber weapons. However, Ukraine's cyber defenses have improved in recent years due to them being under constant attack from Russian hackers. In addition, analysts say that some of Russia's intelligence agencies may be engaged in waging propaganda and disinformation campaigns instead of launching actual offensive strikes. And, as in the ongoing conventional warfare, Russia may have overestimated its own capabilities and underestimated Ukraine's capabilities. So for Viktor Zora, who is Ukraine's Cyber Protection Agency's deputy chief, the current cyber war in Ukraine began on January 14, weeks before the first Russian tanks rolled over the border. On that day, hackers took government websites offline and tried to install their destructive wiper software designed to render computer systems inoperable. So since then, Ukraine's government and critical business networks have faced a constant drumbeat of smaller scale but still tactically significant attacks. In early February, Cisco technicians watched as an intruder tried to install remote access software on a Ukrainian government agency's network. They blocked it, which then kicked off a week-long game of digital whack-a-mole with the threat actors who repeatedly tried to install the malicious software over and over again. So on February 24, the first day of the conventional war, a cyber attack on satellite internet provider Viasat's KASAT network rendered thousands of modems in Ukraine unusable, which basically impaired communications among Ukraine's armed forces. A spokesman for Ukraine's Cyber Protection Agency said that disrupting military communications was most likely the attack's goal, and there was no information that it worsened communications within Ukraine's military. At the end of March, Ukrtelecom, which is Ukraine's largest landline provider and also a service provider to Ukraine's military systems, was mostly knocked offline due to a cyber attack. Ukraine's cyber protection agency said the attack did not affect military operations. However, just days after that, the Ukrainian government's national call center was knocked offline in another cyber attack for about 3 days. So during the conflict, the internet service test in Ukraine showed a 16% reduction in connectivity compared with the weeks before the war started, and that's according to researchers at the Georgia Institute of Technology's Internet Outage Detection and Analysis Project, which measures internet outages. In addition, Ukraine has suffered hacks of government and corporate networks, phishing attacks, cyber attacks on citywide camera systems, near daily attempts to install wiper software, and even tactical cyber attacks launched in conjunction with military strikes, according to representatives of Ukraine's State Service of Special Communications and Information Protection, as well as US companies that are helping to defend these systems. On April 12, ESET, which is a Slovakia-based cybersecurity firm, as well as Ukraine Cyber Security Emergency Response Team, reported that a new strain of malware had been wielded in an attack on high-voltage electrical substations in Ukraine. The malware was designed to damage systems similar to what was used in a previous attack on Ukraine's power grid back in 2016. Researchers said the malware was believed to be the work of a notorious hacking unit within Russia's GRU military intelligence agency known as Sandworm. Officials did not name the targeted utility in April's attack, but said it was privately run and that about 2 million people who lived in the region could have lost power. Experts say it is increasingly evident that one of the reasons that attacks in Ukraine have been largely contained is because defenders there are very aggressive and very good at confronting Russian threat actors. Ukraine has suffered some of the worst cyber attacks on record, and considering Russia's established proficiency in offensive cyber attacks, intelligence officials fed a shock and awe campaign of strikes on the power grid, government offices, and the national communications networks. So in December 2015, a cyber attack attributed to Sandworm knocked out power in parts of Kyiv, Ukraine's capital, for hundreds of thousands of people in the middle of winter. A similar cyber attack a year later once again plunged large parts of Kyiv into darkness and was widely seen as a Russian test of powerful malware that is custom made to disrupt power grids. Perhaps most notably, the West has blamed Russia for the devastating NotPetya computer worm that began in Ukraine in 2017 by secretly corrupting the update mechanism for a widely used tax software. So that worm rapidly spread worldwide, destroying computer systems and costing billions in damages in what some analysts have said is the costliest cyber attack on record. However, since the ongoing war in Ukraine began, the worst case scenario is yet to happen. The Russians haven't taken down the Ukrainian power grid, and they haven't caused a global cyber catastrophe like NotPetya. Officials have said that defensive assistance from the US has also helped significantly. For example, the US sent so-called Hunt Forward teams to Eastern Europe to detect critical cyber vulnerabilities before the Russians could exploit them. In addition, the US Justice Department announced in early April that it had taken a botnet, which is basically a network of infected computers that are then used to carry out malicious cyber activity linked to Russia's GRU offline before it could become operational. Part 3. All units be advised. So according to research from Microsoft, at least 6 hacking groups linked to the Russian government have attempted hundreds of cyber attacks in Ukraine since Russia's invasion in February, including dozens intended to destroy computer systems. Russia's hacking activity amounts to a relentless onslaught of disruptive and destructive operations, often tactically paired with kinetic military maneuvers and traditional cyber espionage. Although many attacks have been unsuccessful, Ukraine's cyber defenses have repelled others, and Ukraine has largely evaded the debilitating cyber disruption that Western officials feared at the onset of the war. So the attacks have not only degraded the networks and systems of institutions in Ukraine, but they've also sought to disrupt people's access to reliable information and critical life services, and have attempted to shake confidence in Ukraine's leadership. The Russia-backed hackers had also been pre-positioning for conflict as early as March 2021, last year, apparently in hopes of gaining broader access to Ukraine's networks that could then be leveraged during this war. By mid-2021, some hackers were targeting supply chain vendors in Ukraine and elsewhere to secure further access into the networks and systems in Ukraine, as well as member states of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. So supply chain vendors are basically companies that sell software or other products that are widely used by other companies, basically making them lucrative targets for hackers. So the findings by Microsoft, which was published on April 27, largely support what cybersecurity experts, large technology companies, and Western intelligence officials have observed so far. While large-scale knockout blows have eluded them or been thwarted, Russian threat actors have been highly active in the Ukraine conflict, focusing much of their efforts on more limited tactical operations to support their military engagements. Hackers have been hammering the Ukrainian government and critical infrastructure since the start of the war. But in April, researchers at Cisco Systems saw a gradual increase in sophisticated attacks from what appeared to be more experienced hackers. In some cases, Russia's cyber attacks appeared strongly correlated and sometimes directly timed with its kinetic military operations. For example, on March 1, cyber attacks were launched against Ukrtelecom, which is a major broadcasting company, the same day that Russian forces launched a missile strike on a TV tower in Kyiv. In another example from mid-March, a separate Russian hacking group stole data from a nuclear safety organization in the weeks following Russia's capture of nuclear power plants in Ukraine. There have also been efforts to hybridize the war in the disinformation space. For example, as Mariupol endured a prolonged siege by Russian forces, some Ukrainians received an email from a Russian hacking group pretending to be a resident of the city, who then accused the Ukrainian government of abandoning its citizens. So in contrast to the confidence expressed by the Ukrainian government, US and Western intelligence officials have said that they believe Russia has the capabilities and the resources to deliver far more damaging cyber attacks against Ukraine than what has been seen so far. In addition, some have said Russia's initial miscalculation that Kyiv would fall in days contributed to an early reluctance to launch cyber attacks against critical infrastructure that could severely cripple daily life in Ukraine. Microsoft said it had observed nearly 40 destructive cyber attacks in Ukraine on hundreds of systems and networks. Of those, about a third were directly aimed at Ukrainian government entities at the national, regional, and city levels. More than 40% targeted critical infrastructure sectors that could have knock-on effects on the Ukrainian government, military, economy, and populace. Part 4. Second-order consequences. Russian intelligence agencies have increased the pace of cyber attacks against nations that have provided aid to Ukraine, according to new research that Microsoft published on June 22, which said it observed Russia-backed hacks and attacks in over 40 countries. Much of the malicious cyber activity linked to the Russian government took aim at governments that are part of NATO for espionage, and targets also included non-governmental organizations, think tanks, information technology and energy firms, and humanitarian groups providing support to Ukrainian refugees. The US saw the most of any country outside Ukraine, accounting for 12% of the global total since the war in Ukraine began. The report noted that as a coalition of countries has come together to defend Ukraine, Russian intelligence agencies have stepped up their network penetration and espionage activities targeting governments outside Ukraine. This increase appears to be most focused on obtaining information from inside the governments that are playing critical roles in the West's response to the war. Senior US government officials warned before Russia invaded Ukraine that Russia was likely to target the US with cyber attacks. However, catastrophic attacks on critical infrastructure have either not taken place or have so far been unsuccessful. Microsoft did not provide data to compare the recent flurry of alleged Russian cyber operations with what the company's threat intelligence team typically observes, but broadly described it as an increase in activity. Because Microsoft's products are so widely used worldwide, the company has unique visibility into the actions of various hacking groups. Since the war began on February 24, Microsoft said it had detected Russian network intrusion efforts on 128 targets in 42 countries outside Ukraine. Many of the alleged Russian attacks were unsuccessful and smaller in scale than what many experts initially anticipated. Microsoft said back in April that half a dozen hacking groups linked to the Russian government had attempted hundreds of cyber attacks in Ukraine since Russia's invasion, including dozens intended to destroy computer systems. Overall, 63% of the global tally of Russia-linked attacks were against NATO members. The countries closest to Ukraine have sustained the most attacks, with Poland enduring more than any other country in the region. Since April, Microsoft said it had seen an increase in activity against computer networks in Denmark, Norway, Finland, Sweden, and Turkey, as well as targeting foreign ministers in other countries that are part of NATO. So far, just under a third of the alleged cyber espionage operations successfully compromised the targets, and at least a quarter of those successes have led to confirmed data theft. Russia has also increased its use of cyber-enabled influence operations against domestic and international audiences to boost its war goals. These efforts have included deliberately spreading false narratives to undermine Western unity with Ukraine. So to wrap up, I talked about the role and the nature of cyber attacks in the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine compared with existing norms of traditional warfare. I also assessed the cyber cat and mouse game playing out in the Russia-Ukraine war, and then I wrapped up with the second order consequences of those cyber attacks on countries that are supporting Ukraine's cyber defenses. So that's all I have for this episode 166 of the Big Picture Podcast. Thanks for listening. The Big Picture Podcast is produced by Sunshine Media in association with Alowunle Productions. Fact-checking by Zara Kuznetsova. Audio engineer Sergey Gorsky, graphic design Stacey Graham, senior producer Abidemi Ologunde, executive producers Olufolani Ologunde and Tobiloba Ologunde. Please join me again on the next episode as I continue with a deep dive on cybersecurity's news, events, and incidents, and the lessons we can learn from them for robust cyber threat intelligence and awareness in our daily lives. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Big Picture Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, TuneIn Radio, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, please share the show with anyone that you think might benefit from it. For questions, comments, or any suggestions, please send an email to bidemi@thebigpicture.com. You can also get in touch on Twitter @BigPicture, on the Clubhouse app @Big, as well as on the Wisdom app @BigPicture. Please remember to leave a review for the podcast if your platform allows you to do so. Thank you for your time. See you on the next episode. Bye for now.